So, Tim, thanks so much for joining us as usual. When I need a pollster, I come to you. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Alan. It's good to talk with you.
So the first thing I want to know is about the thing that interests me the most about Massachusetts politics, and that is, and we've talked about it before, but we have a very interesting primary coming up with Joe Kennedy and Ed Markey. Markey, the long-term senator, long-term congressman, Joe Kennedy, the brash and new congressman, but taking on a primary because he wants to be senator. I've made a prediction, and you can tell me whether my prediction is all wrong, but my prediction is Kennedy takes it. What are you saying?
Well, I'm more in the business of explaining the past than predicting the future, I like to say. But if we look at evidence so far, things do look promising for Congressman Kennedy. There hasn't been a whole lot of polling in the race, but what there has been has shown him with an edge over Markey, a fairly significant edge among Democratic primary voters. And perhaps the more recent metric is one that the Kennedy campaign put out earlier this week, which was his fourth quarter fundraising totals. And he raised about $2.4 million in the fourth quarter. The Markey campaign media reports estimate raised about $1.4 million in the fourth quarter. So it's giving Kennedy an edge in the money race. And that's as good a metric as we can get at the moment about his standing. And so it's pretty promising, but there's a long way to go. The primary's not till September 1st, and a lot could happen between now and then.
Absolutely true. Of course, he is a Kennedy in Massachusetts. He is the grandson of Robert Kennedy. So let me start by asking you this. How magical is the Kennedy name in Massachusetts? Does it still stand up?
It does. With each succeeding generation, it might lose a little bit of its edge. But yes, it's still a very important name in Massachusetts. And more to the point, it's an important name in terms of fundraising, not just in Massachusetts, but across the country. And so that will give him an edge. And we have seen the Kennedy influence in the past, even since the passing of Ted Kennedy in 2009. The Kennedys weighed in on a ballot initiative on a physician-assisted suicide back in 2012. And it was with their involvement that the question went down to defeat, something that had actually polled pretty strongly in favor early in the cycle. And so the Kennedys still do have a fairly significant influence in Massachusetts politics.
And I take it that the Kennedys were opposed to...
They were opposed, yes. And it was interesting because the Catholic bishops in Massachusetts were opposed, but that message really took on more resonance when members of the Kennedy family weighed in, and it was a good illustration of their influence. What we're seeing in this particular cycle, 2020, is not just Kennedy attempting to tap into that history, that legacy. We're also seeing some heightened activity on the part of Ed Markey. Ed Markey is much more present in Massachusetts, shall we say, than we've seen in the past. He came here to Western Massachusetts last week for the swearing-in of the mayor of East Hampton. It's not an event that you would see Ed Markey in ordinary times, but he is making sure he's out there, he's prominent, he's present in the media, because this clearly is a huge, huge threat to his position.
It is so interesting the way that this is all developing. You know, here's Markey, a man in his 70s, versus a much, much younger man, Joe Kennedy. And I don't know, has your polling picked up anything in terms of people's preferences for young or old?
You know, the big challenge with Ed Markey, and when we poll on Ed Markey, is that a lot of people don't have an opinion about him. About
That's
a
right.
quarter of the electorate in our most recent polling, when asked whether they would approve or disapprove of the job he was doing as senator, simply couldn't offer an opinion. And you'd say to yourself, well, how could this be? He's been in Massachusetts politics for decades. He's been in the United States Senate since 2013. But he's long been overshadowed by the state's senior senator, Elizabeth Warren. And when you're going into a cycle with that kind of deficit to make up, just in terms of basic public awareness of who you are, it's a big challenge. And I think that will be his top priority in the coming months, is trying to get out there and get a greater, believe it or not, greater name recognition.
I do believe it, and I think that's absolutely on target. Tim Persilotti, so he's getting Markey endorsed by a lot of other incumbents. Maybe they're shivering a little bit and saying, if somebody can come along and take away his seat, somebody could come along and take mine. I happen to believe that's the case. But how much do those endorsements count?
It's an open question, because a lot depends on who shows up on September 1st. If there is an influx of more progressive voters, of younger voters, that's certainly going to serve Kennedy well. Although many would argue that Ed Markey, with his credentials in terms of climate change and the Green New Deal, would also tap in should more progressive voters show up. Here's something to look for in the early part of the cycle. There is a third candidate in the race, a labor attorney from Boston, Shannon Lise Reardon. And although she's not the fundraising powerhouse that Kennedy is, in her most recent filings, she had a few million in her campaign account as well.
Much of which she loaned herself, I read.
Much of which she loaned herself, but she's in the game. And the Democrats will meet in their state convention in late May in Lowell. And the rules are such that they will the delegates will vote to endorse a candidate for the Senate. Any candidate who does not get a minimum of 15% of the delegates can't advance to the primary in September. And the question is it to the advantage of the Markey or Kennedy campaign to keep Lise Reardon in the race? Who does she draw more from in a primary? And it'll be fascinating to watch the machinations. There is this good old fashioned game theory. It's almost a prisoner's dilemma, watching which campaign might signal to their delegates, we want you to keep this third candidate in the race because we think it'll sap more of our opponent's support. So there will be an interesting preliminary drama at the state Democratic convention on May 30th before we get to the primary in September.
So, Tim Persilotti, do you have an instinct on who she draws more from?
So if when you talk to folks who are watching the race, in any race where there's an incumbent, if you've got two challengers, the suggestion is that they might in some way be divvying up the anti-incumbent sentiment.
In Democratic blue state Massachusetts, where people have been known to put up a picture of a religious figure right next to JFK, you got to figure that helps.
Yeah, no question about it. I think the name certainly helps. The money will get him on the air. He's been visible not just in the usual places, but he's made a few trips out here to Western Massachusetts as well. And it'll be interesting to see if there's some debates over the course of the summer, not a time of year when people necessarily tune in, and it may be overshadowed by the presidential conventions. But all things being equal, Massachusetts, you'd rather be the Kennedy than the non-Kennedy when you're running statewide, that's for sure.
Tim Persilotti, always wonderful to talk to you. Tim Persilotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science extraordinaire, and a great friend of WAMC to keep talking to us. I so appreciate it.
Happy to do it.